Now let's continue on with who and what controls your mind. Let's come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 10. And I just recently double-checked the translation on this to make sure that this was the right translation, because it is in the passive tense, being, see, and led into error or sin. So that's why I translated it this way. Verse 10, and then shall many be led into sin, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Do we have that today? Yes, we do. Okay. Why? Because their minds are all messed up with the way that they have been taught, the way that they think, the music that they listen to, the people that they associate with, their standards, their values. And then here's something too. Once people get into sin, then they have to keep repeating that sin to reinforce in their minds that they're not doing wrong. That happens with drugs. That happens with sex. That happens with you know, even the obscene thing. And generally, it's with perverted sex and then into serial killing that these things take place too. It's amazing. But you see, there is that influence of Satan, the devil. Then the influence of the media, the influence of the music, the influence of your friends. That's how gangs get started. Oh, you want to be macho, have a gang. Yes. Well, you got to do this first. Oh, good boy. You stole this or stole that or whatever. Now, if you want to graduate, you got to go kill someone. Led into sin. All right, come back here to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Let's see where all of this activity leads. Let's see how all of these things heighten the works of the flesh. Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. That's why we saw we're not to love the world, the things in the world, or the pride of life, or any of these things, because they're all of the world, and everything of the world, when it gets into what we're talking about here, comes from Satan, the devil. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see the works of the flesh. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The very first thing that they get people involved in at as young an age as possible are sex sins. And look at all the pedophiles that are around. Well, there will be so many around that they're going to have to do like they've done with other laws. Well, we can't enforce all these laws, so why don't we just make it legal? See? Just like they recently did in the Army. They passed the law in armed services that now, not only same-sex marriage, but bestiality is okay. Once you start deviancy down, it starts at a plateau like this, and then all of a sudden there is a plunge into hell. That's what happened with the Germans. I was reading an article about someone. Well, they did this and we did nothing, and they did something else and we did nothing, and pretty soon everything was out of hand. I say that may be true, but that's an excuse. I didn't realize it until I was watching another special on the Third Reich. Guess how many camps they had like Dachau? 20,000. And the Germans said, "Oh, my, we never knew." Well, I'm sure there were some who didn't. But you can't miss the smell. And you can't find the missing people. And another thing I didn't know, in Germany itself, there were only 700,000 Jews, and half of those were able to emigrate out of the country. So it wasn't just the Jews in Germany. It was the Jews in Poland that they wanted, because that's where millions of them were. And that's why they invaded Poland. See? And it started out, benefits. You do this, you have a benefit. You have a job, you have food. Remember, they just came out of hyperinflation. 20-30% unemployment. Near starvation. People who had cattle had to guard their cows day and night lest someone come and get it and kill their cattle or their cow. So it was a desperate situation. So when Hitler came along, brought in a new currency, put everyone to work, took back the Ruhr from the French, fired up all the steel mills, began making weapons, and then sweet Neville Chamberlain, oh, what a wonderful man, he kissed Hitler and gave him Czechoslovakia. So there wouldn't be any war. And then the Austrians said, oh, this is so great. We want in on the benefits. So then they joined. And all the while, tightening down, tightening down, tightening down, raising little kids. You talk about leading people into sin, worshiping Adolf Hitler, the Nazi youth, the armies. Those then became dedicated to evil. Like the SS. And where all of this starts is right here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, or the occult. And I was just reminded during the break that wondrous Disneyland, to help indoctrinate the children, has a whole section on Harry Potter and witchcraft. Is it not being done today? Yes, indeed. Hatred, strifes, jealousies, indignation, contentions, division, sex, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such things as these, concerning which I am telling you beforehand, even as I have also said in the past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, God wants us to develop his character. This is the very reason God has called us, so that we keep our choice, we control our minds, and we are led of the Holy Spirit, because he's preparing us to rule in the kingdom of God. And he is doing it the right way. You first develop the character, and then you can rule. You first learn how to control your mind, and then you're able to make wise judgments. You first learn how to think properly, and we'll see that here in a little bit. But notice the fruits of the Spirit. These are all tied to the commandments of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. How are we to control ourselves? Using our minds by our choices, being led of the Holy Spirit of God, having the laws and commandments of God and the Word of God written in our hearts and our minds, so that we are able to overcome the evil that's in our minds. Now let's turn back just a few pages, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. For although we walk in the flesh, see, as I pointed out this morning, we are not to be of the world, but we have to live in it. And Jesus' prayer was to protect us from the evil one, Satan, the devil. Okay? For although we walk in the flesh, we still have human bodies. We do not war according to the flesh. Because, see, we are in a battle for our minds. We are in a battle for our lives. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations. And isn't that what was spoken of there in Genesis 6? The imagination of the hearts of men were only evil continually? Okay. That's what it would be without the Spirit of God. So when those come along, so when a thought comes along, bang, and you grab that thought and you cast it down, you ask God to give you strength, you ask God to help change your mind, you ask God to help you think on the things that are right. See, that's the self-control that God wants. See? Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Carnality. Self. What did we read back there in 2 Timothy 3? Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of money. Braggarts. Insolent. All of the works of the flesh, you see. And bringing into captivity. Now notice, this takes choice. And this takes work. This takes prayer. And this takes study. Bringing into captivity every thought. Now that is a full-time occupation. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. How do you avenge that disobedience? You get the thought out of your mind. You know, it's just like some nonsensical tune circulating around in your brain like some advertisement, you know. It can be something, can be a thought of sex, it can be a thought of lust, it can be a thought of jealousy, a thought of bitterness, a thought of anger, all of those things. And we're going to see that God wants us to think deductively. That means that we go by the truth and by the facts. The world thinks, sometimes deductively, you have to in engineering and building and things like that. But emotionally, they think subjectively. And their emotions run first rather than their thoughts. And you can see this, especially young people, if you watch any sporting events in the colleges. I mean, you watch the basketball teams. And all the students are out there, through the whole game. And the camera runs up and catches a picture of them, and their eyes are all wild, you know. And when I see that, I think, there's a mind that can know nothing about Jesus. So they're all hyped up on the physical. It's all emotion. They're thinking, rah, rah, my team. It's got to win. Yes, I'm for them. I hate the others, you know. Okay? All of those thoughts that are carnal, we need to overcome them. What is it? We all have to identify what is the weakest part of our mind, and that is the evil thoughts that bother us. Now, we'll talk about this a little later here in just a minute and see how we need to overcome them. Okay? Okay? Having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is or has been fulfilled. All right. Let's ask the next question. Even though we're converted, what do we still have with us? Now, we have the keys to overcome it. But what do we still have with us? The law of sin and death. See? And there's the inner battle. So let's come to Romans 7. Let's see what the law of sin and death causes us to do. Now, the world, people in the world, do not have this battle. They don't have that. All right, so let's go through Romans 7. Let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. shows we're to obey in newness of spirit. Now you see, in oldness of the letter, if you didn't go over and pick something up and steal it, though you wanted to, you haven't sinned. In the spirit of the law, if you think of it, you have sinned. If you think of adultery, you have sinned. Because all sin starts in the mind, see. And this is how that they want to be able to control, by injecting thoughts, electromagnetic, coupled with the mark of the beast, to control the population. Okay? Because the people in the world do not have the Holy Spirit to allow them to overcome the law of sin and death. Now, there may be some people who are good and upright people. Many of them are Protestants who are sincere in what they believe, but they don't know that they've been deceived. So they're happy in their little part of doing good that they know how to do. But they can't overcome the law of sin and death. And this, as we will see, is a lifelong thing. So Paul says here, verse 7, what then shall we say? Is the law sin? May it never be. But I had not known sin except through the law. Furthermore, I would not have been conscious of lust except the law said, you shall not covet. But sin, having grasped an opportunity by the commandment, worked out within me every kind of lust, because apart from law, sin was dead. In other words, if you do not have consciousness of the law, you don't even recognize that you are sinning. And Christmas, since we're in the Christmas season, is a very good example of that. Why, we're doing good. We're buying presents for everybody. Isn't that wonderful? We lie to our children, but we tell them that's only a white lie. Okay? But we give them gifts. You know, and sad thing, take advantage of the little kids, take them down to Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus works at the North Pole. None of the kids say, Mommy, what he's doing here in this department store? Why isn't he in the North Pole? Hey? And I love the one with the barbarians. They have this young looking kid sitting on Santa's lap, and he's asking him what he wants, and he wants an axe and something like that, and Santa pulls his beard and the little kid says, ouch! You know. See, so here's how with humor. They're able to get people to like it. See? All right. If you don't know the law, you don't know sin. Now, you might understand certain things are wrong, but you don't know the law. Look at all those people that, you know, Christmas Eve, they're going to go to midnight mass. They're going to think, oh, it's wonderful. They're probably going to have it on Fox News. They always show the Pope on Christmas Eve midnight mass. Wonder why they have it at midnight. All right. Verse 9. For I was once alive without law. Now, if he actually died a physical death, he wouldn't be writing this. So this means he was living in the flesh without the true knowledge of law, though he was a Pharisee. Now, can you imagine that? But after the commandment came, that means after the commandment came to my consciousness. See, so that's why we need the commandments in our hearts and in our minds. Sin revived. He could see the seriousness of sin. And I died. How did he die? The death of baptism. Was Paul baptized? Yes. There's no account that he physically died and Christ raised him back to life. So this is talking about baptism. All right, let's continue on. And the commandment which was meant to result in life was found to be unto death for me, because he didn't realize the sins that he was doing. Through Judaism, he was being led into sin, just like people in Catholicism are today. They are led into sin, whatever religion you want. Okay? So then when he really came to the consciousness of the magnitude of the commandments of God, found it to be death for me, because sin, having taken opportunity by the commandment, because that's the strength of the law, deceived me. Have you been deceived by sin? Have you done things that are wrong, that you thought you could get away with, that you thought you would have a benefit in doing? Yes, indeed. All of us have. That's the nature of Satan and the nature of human beings. And by it killed me. So he died and he was killed. No, he understood that he had to die the death of baptism, and he realized that the wages of sin is death. So now he clears up the whole picture here. Verse 12. For the law is indeed holy, and the commandment holy and righteous and good. When it defines sin, it doesn't make the commandment wrong. See? Just like Dershowitz said, well, obviously the 10th commandment against covetousness doesn't function in the world today because that's how Wall Street is run. You know? Covetousness and greed. Well, we have a good example of that. Here's one of these, you know, Corzine, who's supposed to be a miracle man and knowing all about financing, and he runs MF, what is that? MF Global. And he's hauled before the Senate, and they say, where did the $1.2 billion go? I don't know. Yet they now have him authorizing $155 million of the clients on account deposits with them to be used for the transactions of the company. See? All right? Commandment is holy and righteous and good. But what happens when you break it? Now then, did that which is good become death to me? May it never be. But sin, in order that it might truly be exposed as sin, as sin in me, by that which is good, was working out death. Because you now see the goodness of what God has, and you've been going the other direction. So he understood that. So that by the means of the commandment, sin might become exceedingly sinful. How does sin, through the commandment, become exceedingly sinful? As Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you have committed murder in your mind. See? If you lust after a woman, you have committed adultery in your mind. If you want someone else's goods, you have committed covetousness and theft in your mind. If you bow down before an idol, you are committing idolatry and rejecting the true God. See? All of those things start in the mind. So then he says, that's how it becomes exceedingly sinful. Otherwise, people think it's a good thing. Let's go on. Now here's what he learned by that. Here's what he learned by that, which is this. He did not realize that the law was not just something written on tablets of stone, see, that you can just read, walk away and leave. See? They're spiritual. They're like the laws of gravity. They work all the time. So he says, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, having been sold as a slave under sin. Because what I'm working out myself, that is what I do by my own self, I do not know or understand. Have you ever done something and say, why did I do that? For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Now, give you a good illustration. I've done this about three times in my lifetime. I'm nailing something and I'm hammering. And I tell myself, don't get your thumb in the way. Bang! I hit my thumb. Did I want to do it? No. I told myself, don't do it. But did I do it? Yes, I did it. Well, it's the same way with anger. You don't want to get mad, but when you're provoked, boy, you got to let off steam. See? How do you feel afterwards? Rotten? Miserable? Have other people been affected? Yes. Have feelings been hurt? Yes. Has division been accomplished? Yes. Have walls been built? Yes. But I didn't want to do it. See? That's what Paul was finding out, see? For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. But if I'm doing what I do not desire to do, I agree with the law, it is good. See, because your sinning doesn't make the law bad. Your sinning exemplifies the righteousness or goodness of the law, because look at the results of sin. See? And look at the results of the lack of control. So then I'm no longer working it out the law is good. So then I'm no longer working it out myself. Rather, it is sin that is dwelling in me, and this is the key. People in the world have the law of sin and death in them with no means of controlling it spiritually, because they don't have the Spirit of God. That's why self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, because you need the Spirit of God to really be self-controlled. Now, without the Spirit of God, you can be disciplined for a while, but sooner or later, something's going to happen. See? And you're looking at all the Republicans are looking at Newt Gingrich and saying, yeah, he's got all these ideas, he's all good, but boy, you don't know when he's going to pop off with something you don't even expect. See? Sin is dwelling within me. Now, with the Holy Spirit of God, we can overcome that. How? By bringing every thought into captivity, by making the right choices. So here's what we need to understand. Verse 18. Because I fully understand that there is not dwelling within me, that is, within my fleshly being, any good. As long as there's sin there, whatever good you would do is negated by the sin that is there. Now, this becomes important. Let me just jump ahead to something that's important that we understand. Okay. To receive the kind of forgiveness of sin, it can only come from God. Because God is perfect and righteous and forgiving and understands. When you have your sins forgiven by Him, they are wiped away. Now, when we deal with each other and we forgive each other, even when we forgive, we still have reservations that we have to overcome, don't we? Yes, we do. See? So that's why it's so fantastic what God does. Okay? So as long as you have sin within you, you cannot do absolutely perfect good. That's why there's the resurrection. Okay? For the desire to do good is present within me. I meant to do good. But how to work out that which is good, I do not find. Something went wrong. Yes, indeed. For the good that I desire to do, I'm not doing, but the evil that I do not desire to do, this I'm doing. So then he breaks it down into something that we can understand. But if I do what I do not desire to do, I am no longer working it out myself, but sin that is dwelling within me. This is why we have to bring every thought into captivity. take every vain imagination and cast it down. Bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. This helps us to do this. Now, the world does not have this. If they're very disciplined, they can accomplish certain things. Yes, they can quit drinking. Yes, they can quit taking drugs. Yes, they can, if they've had enough problems in marriages before, yes, they can be faithful in the marriage that they're in now. Different things like that. But it never gets rid of the sin that is within, and it never cleanses the mind with the washing of the water by the word. See? But sin that is dwelling in me. Verse 21, consequently, I find this law in my members. And I find it too. You find it too. When I desire to do good, evil is present with me. In other words, you're trying to do something good. Right in the middle of doing something good, bing, here comes an evil thought. I'm sure you've had that happen to you. I've had it happen to me. Okay? So here's how you overcome it. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law within my own members warring against the law of my mind. And the law of your mind is the spirit of man and the spirit of God and the laws of God, but the law of sin is there. Okay? And leading me captive to the law of sin which is within my members. That's why we need the resurrection. That's why God has his own transhumanism program so that we can become like God. See? In this life, we'll never be perfect. We can be counted righteous. We can be reckoned in right standing with God. But of and by our own nature, because we carry the law of sin and death within us, we cannot be righteous like God, because you must be a spirit being to do that. See? You all understand that? If not, you'll learn this coming week. So he says here, verse 24, oh, what a wretched man that I am, you know, compared to God. Who shall save me from the body of this death? This is why there's salvation. I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ because of this. On the one hand, I serve the law of God with my mind. But on the other hand, with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Now that is not all the time, but it will vary in circumstances and in attitude from time to time. There's sometimes you go along, you haven't done anything really bad for a long time, and then bang, something happens, and then nothing goes right. You ever had a day like that? Yeah, especially if you lose your temper. You know, nothing goes right. And you try and make it good. No one's willing to listen to you because you lost it. So the salvation is through Christ. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and end it here because this is a good place to go ahead and end everything, and we'll pick it up next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.